You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Michigan has set new cleanup rules for chemicals that have contaminated 28 sites, drinking water sources in Michigan. The chemicals are per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, PFAS for short. They were used in firefighting foam and in a wide range of consumer products. The compounds have been linked to some cancers and other health problems. Dr. David Sabitz is a professor of epidemiology in the Brown University School of Public Health, and he leads the Scientific Advisory Committee to the Michigan PFAS Action Response Team. Dr. Sabitz, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
So the Department of Environmental Quality has set the new limit for PFAS as 70 parts per trillion. What does that mean exactly?
Well, again, it's taking something that the EPA had issued as sort of an advisory or a guideline and giving it more force as a chosen limit for the levels of exposure.
So these would be acceptable concentrations of these chemicals in groundwater that people would use for drinking water?
Well, that's what the intended regulation was applied to, was drinking water sources. And again, it was something that the EPA developed over some period of time, really a combination of the scientific evidence, which remains quite limited, and then some judgment and safety factors and a number of other considerations that led them to that figure.
What is your opinion of that criteria? Is it stringent enough to protect people?
Again, based on current knowledge, it is a very cautious and conservative level that was set. And I say that, you know, we really don't have very complete understanding of the potential health effects. And in the face of that uncertainty, the intent was to err on the side of caution. So based on what we know today, it is indeed a restrictive and cautious level to work with.
Help us understand, and you and I have talked about these chemicals on Stateside, but just to give us a sense, why is it so fuzzy?
Partially, these chemicals have really only been of concern for something less than a decade even. Now, that may sound like a long time, but to take a very complex class of chemicals, we're not talking about one chemical, we're talking about dozens or potentially thousands that fall into this class, and go from essentially no knowledge, maybe, say, 10 years ago, to having a handle on them is really quite challenging. And I think we're making progress. It's being pursued. It's a very active research area. And so with advances in the research, we'll be in a much better position to establish, you know, evidence-based regulatory limits. Right now, this is set based on the little that we know combined with judgment and caution, and that's appropriate, I think. But as the evidence changes, it's quite possible that the recommended levels would change as well.
How does this new standard that Michigan has compare with other states?
States have varied quite a bit in how they've interpreted and extrapolated from the EPA recommendation. Many of them have adopted it. Some of them have not adopted any standards. Some of them have made some choices about making it even lower. There are different philosophies behind it. The evidence is what it is, and it's a matter of how that is used and interpreted across different agencies.
Doctor, the news outlet MLive is reporting that blood tests for one woman who lives in a house directly across from one of the Wolverine Worldwide dump sites in West Michigan found four different PFAS compounds in her blood serum, and combined, they totaled 5 million parts per trillion. Put this in context for us as the scientific advisor to the state. How often do you see PFAS levels this high in people's blood?
Again, we don't really know unless, you know, you do a very large population survey. Everybody has measurable levels. Most of us have levels that are in a, what we think of as sort of a normal or typical range. But, of course, there are outliers. There are people who, because of a particular source of exposure or the way they metabolize the chemical and so on, may have markedly different levels. So I think that what levels like that indicate is clearly there is some source of elevated exposure that this individual is exposed to, and I think that's probably the immediate issue. That's unambiguous. If someone has levels that are unusually high, they have an unusual source of exposure, and I think that's really where the focus needs to be to then identify that source and see what needs to be done to remedy it.
And as the scientific advisor to the state on this issue, what's needed next? Where do we go?
I think that, again, of course, it's easy as a scientist to say we need more research, and in fact, we need a lot more research to have a firm handle on it. But I think that the more near-term approach is what the state is following, which is to carefully assemble the information that's available, take into account the local circumstances, and there are multiple sites where this is of concern, to consider feasibility and other factors and come up with a rational policy. And I think this is a step certainly in that direction, the decision that they've made, but it's really to continue to monitor and make the best possible use of the research that is being done.
Dr. David Savitz, Brown University. He leads the Scientific Advisory Committee to the Michigan PFAS Action Response Team. Doctor, thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
After more than 20 years of making music, Jill Jack is still proud to call Michigan home.
I mean, I've been out of the country, I've been in every state, and there is just something about Michigan that makes me grounded, feel safe, makes me feel, you know, just myself.
That's in 10 minutes, right here on Stateside from Michigan Radio.